This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Friday, September 25th, 2020. Only 3 months to Christmas, people. Have you started shopping yet? Today you'll hear about a couple of Senate reports, or maybe one. I couldn't tell if it was the same one or not, and I just got tired of Googling. And Louisville is still rioting. Pray for Louisville. And of course, I will talk a little bit about the things happening here in my town, Moscow, Idaho. Remember, if you come across a news story you think we might need to cover, please send it to news@crosspolitic.com. This is a great way to share articles and stories with us that may end up in our daily or weekly shows. I check the inbox every time I do this. So send us something, news@crosspolitic.com, that you think we should cover. Earlier today, well, actually, earlier yesterday, on Thursday, Kimberly Strassel from the Wall Street Journal tweeted a thread on Christopher Steele and the dossier. Remember that? The whole Russian collusion thing seems like years ago. It was actually this year, 2020. Anyways, I want to walk you through this because she says this is huge. Okay, she didn't say it's huge. She says it's extraordinary, actually. She says breaking. Per CBS and extraordinary. Christopher Steele's main source for the dossier. He was the subject of a nearly two-year-long FBI counter-intel investigation from 2009 to 2011. That's why it was so long ago. Under suspicion of being a Russian spy and a threat to national security. Okay, wait. Oh, this is way back. He was suspected to be a Russian spy back in 2009, 2011. Early in Obama's administration, a subsource reportedly attempted to recruit two individuals connected to an influential foreign policy advisor to Obama. Said if they got jobs in the administration and access to classified information, he could help them, quote, make a little extra money. FBI says he had previously contact with the Russian embassy and Russian intelligence officers. Thanks to @PaulSperry, we know the name of this subsource and that he had a period at this time at Brookings, a Democratic think tank. But here's the real kicker. Per these documents out from Lindsey Graham, as of Thursday, the FBI knew about this prior to investigation into the source in the December of 2016. It knew it was relying on information from a suspected Russian spy, Christopher Steele. Wait a second. The same FBI said to be concerned about Russian interference, the same FBI that was running the Russian interference, oh my goodness, investigation into the election to see if, you know, the whole thing, if Trump got elected because of Russian interference. That same FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, was using information from a suspected Russian spy to probe a presidential campaign. The same FBI claiming Carter Page was a Russian agent was making that case based on info from a suspected Russian agent. That's like a circle, right? Most importantly, it never told the FISA court about this investigation. It withheld that information and continued re-upping its applications to carry on surveillance for Page and the campaign. It vouched for information supplied by a suspected Russian agent. The name of this subsource and the realization of the FBI's prior suspicions should have ended the entire probe. Instead, the FBI doubled down, hid things from the court, kept going. This again raises urgent need to know who knew what and when. And people wonder why Durham is looking into all this. I don't know that reference. Also, extra credit question. Wasn't it Mueller's job to find sources of Russian disinformation? How do you miss the guy potentially feeding it directly to the FBI? Finally, and this is her ninth tweet in the thread. Big credit here to AG Bill Barr and Lindsey Graham for their commitment to truth and transparency. Americans deserve to know what happened before they vote. Wow, keep following that story. FBI is the swamp, apparently. A report released Wednesday by the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and Finance Committee lays out numerous foreign business dealings pursued by Hunter Biden when his father was vice president. The report connects Hunter Biden to politically connected businessmen in China, Russia, and Kazakhstan, or something like that, and raises allegations of dealings with the Chinese Communist Party and Putin allies. The report also reveals that the dealings raised red flags within the U.S. government. Mainstream media have reported on these findings as some kind of partisan smear attempt to hurt Joe Biden's presidential prospects. You know, CNN, Politico, New York Times, Washington Post. CNN said Senate Republicans on Wednesday issued a partisan report attacking Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, over his role on a board of Ukrainian energy company, but says little about the former vice president beyond the long known potential conflict of interest issues that arose because of Hunter's position. What about that time he actually participated in a quid pro quo? You know, that time he's on camera saying, "You're not going to get the money until you fire that guy," and son of a gun, they got fired and then you got his money. That's I don't know. Anyways, the Times emphasized that the findings did not reflect poorly on the presidential candidate at all. They said he is the best presidential candidate ever. Vote for Biden. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Okay, they didn't say all that part, but I just added it in for them. The Post said the report failed to demonstrate that Hunter Biden's business ventures in Ukraine changed the administration's policy toward the country. It must be nice having a media, like every media outlet being basically your campaign, like extensions of your presidential campaign. Outlets also left out the detail that former Secretary of State John Kerry had previously been warned about Hunter Biden's dealings in Ukraine, which he later denied having any knowledge of. All right. Police in Louisville have arrested a man whom they say shot two officers Wednesday night during a large-scale protest, looting, violence, after officials announced the grand jury decision in the Breonna Taylor case. We're going to talk about this more for the Sunday special. Stay tuned. But basically, people, I mean, even worst case scenario, something horrible happened, something terribly unjust. And I think it was a mess in the Breonna Taylor case. But this is a temper tantrum. These riots are temper tantrums. Also, I think there's growing evidence that people are funding. These are riots by order. These are hired riots. Lorenzo Johnson, 26, was charged with 2 first-degree counts of assault, 14 counts of wanton endangerment. Not first-degree murder or attempted murder. Johnson is accused of shooting Aubrey Gregory, a major within the department, and Officer Robinson Desroches. Gregory was wounded in the leg and has been released from the hospital. Desroches was shot in the abdomen and is recovering after major surgery to address his injuries. 2 other officers were injured, and another was spit on by a demonstrator as police worked to contain the violence. The department has reported 127 arrests, 127 in connections with demonstrations Wednesday and overnight. And it looks like it's off to the races again Thursday night. Looking forward to seeing everyone who registered for the Fight Laugh Feast conference at Franklin. Seriously, so looking forward to seeing you. So many people have reached out, especially over the last 24 hours, as we've had some of our own special crazy here in Moscow. And so thankful for everybody saying, "Hey, can't wait to see you in Franklin." We are so excited. We know this whole thing is from God. It's from the Lord. He wanted to catapult us into Franklin with this hot on our tail. Just to put an extra spring in our step, a little bit more urgency in the Psalms that we sing. So we're excited. Maybe we're going to start something in Franklin. I don't know. Registration is now officially closed. We are so thankful for everyone who's coming. If you register for the conference, you should have emails in your inbox telling you all the details about the hotels in Franklin that are nearby, the new venue. Make sure you got that. Change your hotel over if you haven't already. There's a schedule and an itinerary for the conference on the website, also in your inbox. Check it out. Make sure you're there in time to come to Beer and Psalms, and then all the talks, all the hangouts, the Sabbath feast on Saturday night. Oh, I'm so excited. We'll sing Psalms throughout the whole thing. But wait, for all the rest of you that didn't register, we will be live streaming and making all conference talks available to club members. Talks from Doug Wilson, George Grant, Glenn Sunshine, David Bonson, Jeff Durbin, me, a live show with the whole Fight Laugh Feast Network. I don't know, maybe someone will be having carrying a foam round with the After Hours with Darren Doan. I'm sure Gabe's going to be talking a lot too in between the talks. You know, he's going to introduce people and so on. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. And there's going to be a live show at the very end with the whole Fight Laugh Feast Network. If you're already a member, just look for the links. We'll be sending out links to the show, to the talks as they're happening live, so you can watch with us live. And if you're not already a member, I mean, maybe this is the moment. Maybe this is your moment to join and become a Cross Politic club member, a Fight Laugh Feast club member. You're supporting Rowdy Christian Media. You get a free shirt. And you get access to all the talks at the Fight Laugh Feast Conference, October 1st through the 3rd. That's next week. Okay. I'm going to close by just talking for a couple of minutes about the thing. You know, the thing. The situation. The dealio, as they say. The moment that the Lord's given us here in Moscow. And unless you've been living in a cave or under a rock, you know that... our very own water boy, Gay Brench, and two other members of our congregation were arrested on Wednesday evening for their participation in a flash psalm sing protest. So our city council renewed a mask mandate, 6 foot, you know, social distancing or mask mandate on last Monday night until January 5th. There are zero hospitalizations for COVID in our county. There are zero deaths. We've had a few hundred cases. This, again, for a virus that for those under 70 years of age have a 99%. It's higher than 99%. 99 point something. Five, I don't know what. Chance, you know recovery rate is enormous. Yes, for those over 70, it's a higher rate of death and complications and so on. And those with comorbidities or other immune compromised systems, yes, take precautions and so on. It's immoral, unjust to treat the healthy as though they are high risk, that they are contagious. The Bible provides for quarantining of the sick and the actual contagious, those who are actually contagious. It does not allow magistrates to then treat the healthy. And those who can handle this, who have immune systems that can handle this virus, it's not just or moral for them to do that. Besides, there are actually provisions in the Moscow City Code. That's our city, Moscow. There are provisions in the city code that actually protect our right to gather and sing. So what we did on Wednesday night was completely legal, completely, even without wearing masks, even without social distancing, even with the mayor's order. We are completely protected by law. What we did was completely legal. And what the police officers did to Gabe and to my friends, members of my congregation, Sean and Rachel, was completely illegal. It was unlawful. They certainly thought they were, enforcing the mayor's order. They were not, in fact. And I believe that will be demonstrated in the court of law as these cases are brought before judges. We sing psalms. It's what we do. We love singing psalms. It's how God strengthens his people. It's how God is pleased with his people. And their battle songs, their war songs, which is why we want to teach you psalms at the Fight Laugh Feast Conference next week. We want to teach you how to fight. This is the theme is weapons for this war. And you know that our tag is Fight Laugh Feast. And central to holding that combination together. How do you fight? How do you laugh? And how do you feast all together? How do you do that? Well, a central key component is learning to sing the Psalms. So that's what we want to do with you. That's what we were doing at City Hall. And if you're listening to this on Friday, like all cool people, September 25th, then you should know that we're actually having another psalm sing this evening. So please pray for us. We're going to be live streaming it. I believe Chuck Knox is going to have a camera out there. But we're planning to sing three psalms and a doxology. It's a 15-minute protest. This is not a great threat to our city. But in terms of its spiritual state, of course, we know it is. It's like launching, four Scud missiles into the kingdom of darkness. Anyways, we are encouraged. We are excited. We are thankful for this moment. The phone has been ringing off the hook. Our messages have been blowing up. Our notifications are blowing up with people who are encouraged, who are excited, who are thankful. I think it's going to be a big crowd tonight at this next psalm saying, be praying for us. We are very encouraged. We hope you are very encouraged. This is where the gospel shines. The gospel shines in moments like this. And there's so many ways in which God has totally prepared us for this moment. We are so thankful how God has prepared us for this moment. He has orchestrated it all perfectly. He knows what he's doing. We are in a good place. And of course, as you saw, I mean, Gabe was made for this moment. So maybe you saw him on Laura Ingraham. Maybe you saw, you know, Tucker Carlson. Maybe you caught him on Glenn Beck and everywhere else. But God made him for this moment. We're so thankful for him. We're proud of him. Proud of Sean and Rachel, members of our congregation who were also arrested and booked for a couple of hours before being released on Wednesday night. They're all out. They're all in good spirits. We all, you know, they all stayed up late, hanging out, rejoicing in the Lord because God is good. And even in these moments where we know people are doing things that are wrong, we know that God is in control. Jesus is on the throne, and God loves to use moments like this to shine the light of truth and grace and liberty. And so we're thankful. We're excited. Thank you for your support. God is good. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. Remember to send us stories and articles that you think we should cover to news@crosspolitic.com. You can find this in all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download in your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight Laugh Feast club member for as long as Cross Politic gods smile upon the land. Get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt and live and archive access to all the talks, plus lots of others, at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference. If you're not a member yet, now's a great time to do it so you can get access to the talks at the conference. Go to fightlaughfeast.com. Have a great day and a great weekend.